It's time for the Kelly Kelly Show. Kelly is an award-winning photographer and the owner of the website iloveclearwater.com. Doug is the author of 4 published books and a contributing editor for Florida Sportsman magazine. And now, here they are.
Yes, here we are, and it's March, as we all know. Very significant in history because it's my birthday this month.
That's true.
Very, very. I'll be 39. Of course. And
the lies is starting early.
Now, wait a minute. I don't lie too often. Just about my age, I do. Cut a few years off.
Uh-huh.
But March, of course, signals the beginning of spring. It's the time the college kids and families crowd our beaches and streets, and it's teeth grinding.
The traffic.
It's awful. It is. The roads are clogged. The restaurants have 40-minute waits, and it's just, you have to really test your temper, you know. But the college folks arrive with wallets to spend on things tours do, like hotel rooms, beer, souvenirs, and radio so they can listen to the Kelly Kelly Show.
Yes. That's true. That's right. And Clearwater Beach alone puts a lot of dollars in the pockets of hoteliers and merchants in Pinellas County.
Indeed.
That makes for a huge influx of cash as well from the room taxes that finances ads that attract even more tourists.
Yep. It's pretty much reminiscent of other counties like that attract tourists like in Monroe County.
Yeah,
and
but
the Florida
we have
Keys.
The number one beach in the south. So,
well, you know, like every year, we seem to break the previous year's tourism record, COVID notwithstanding. So, grin and bear it if you're residents like us, and just know that the roads are going to be bumper to bumper, and especially going over the bridges and the main traffic arteries, and you might want to avoid Clearwater Beach.
No, you will not. The trolley is free during the entire month of March.
You think I'm getting...
You can ride the trolley.
You think I'm getting the chamber mad at me right now?
Yeah, well, you don't say stuff like that.
You got one better.
No, jolly trolley.
It'll do us one better.
Take the water taxi, because you can park on this side.
That's right.
Get a nice little boat ride, and they dump you right off at the dock.
There you go. And if you're a swimmer, you can just swim across the Intercoastal Waterway.
With the dolphins.
With the dolphins and the occasional bull shark.
Okay.
But again, that's not for the Chamber of Commerce to talk about.
That's right. That was Big Ed Davis, the executive producer of Tan Talk. Ed, where do things stand with the Bucks and Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield?
Well, actually, good news this morning because Mike Evans signed a 2-year, $52 million contract.
Did he really?
Yes, he did this morning. That was this morning.
He is a premier 6'5".
It's $35 million guaranteed just for signing his name.
Wow.
Fantastic. Well, he's one of the premier receivers in the NFL.
Yeah, this guy that...
No doubt.
Yeah, he was going to get that anywhere he went anyway.
Yes, No, that's awesome. It's great.
I believe he probably took a hometown discount because he was probably looking at more. Well, no, because he was probably looking at 4 years.
Yeah, true.
Because really, when you're 30... In the NFL, you want something. That's the meat of your lifetime deal right there.
Yeah.
And he wanted probably 4 years, but they probably said, hey, we'll come back in 2 years and we'll, you know.
Well, he threatened to go into free agency, which means he's not under contract now. He could sign with any other team. And that's good leverage.
So
you
now
do
with
that.
Mike on board, then Baker will follow.
Baker's next.
That's a done deal.
Baker Mayfield, of course, was quarterback last year. And who in the hell names their kid Baker?
Guy that's going to make a lot of money.
I mean, you know, that is, he'll make a lot of dough. Anyway. Well... You know, the Bucks did make the playoffs this year, which was a shock.
Did you guys have a couple of cocktails beforehand? Or?
A couple of cigarettes, of the ones with the twisted ends on it. Not really, I'm kidding. But, you know, they made the playoffs last year. They exceeded expectations because, well, of course, Brady wasn't there. They were already going downhill with the decimation of the offensive line. The defense wasn't like it was when they won the Super Bowl. So they really weren't expected to even get to the playoffs, and they did. They didn't get very far. They did beat the Eagles, and then they lost the next game and were taken out. However, this season, if they don't get to the playoffs and go beyond that, there could be some changes. What do you think, Ed?
Well, I mean, the reward you get for going to the playoffs is you get a really hard schedule next year.
That's true.
So when this year comes up, there's going to be. But then, you know, injuries happen in the league, and anything can happen.
They do. Board, so. The Dolphins had terrible injuries at the end of the year, lost four of their last five games, and it killed them. Of course, the Phillies are in Clearwater, and the Blue Jays in Dunedin and for spring practice. And what is being surprising, if I haven't lost you already as football fanatics, is that the USF Bulls had a winning season last year at 7-6, and they stomped Syracuse in the Boca Raton Bowl 45-0. Maybe the Bulls are improving, right, Ed?
I think they're in the right direction.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, do they play Miami this year?
I think they do. They think they do.
I'm sure you'll get to it.
Well, that'll be a real test because the Hurricanes, of course, are one of the greatest teams in the history of the NFL.
Many years ago.
Oh, you know, stop
right,
it.
Right.
Stop it. We all have good memories.
We don't even know. I don't know.
and videotape.
Of course, I'm not biased.
Yeah. Between spring break and spring training, we barely leave the house during March.
That's true. That's true.
It is true.
Yep.
Anyway, we're going to take a short break, but first see if you know the answer to this trivia question. In Helsinki. What?
Helsinki.
We've been there, haven't we?
Yes.
Finland. I can't even pronounce it.
All right.
You say it.
Helsinki.
Finland, instead of issuing parking tickets, do the police tow away the car, put on a wheel boot, or deflate a tire? The answer right after this.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
In 1955, the law firm now known as Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes made a decision. Instead of taking whatever cases came through their doors, they decided to focus specifically on personal injury. 64 years later, the law firm is one of Clearwater's longest-running personal injury firms. Available 24 hours a day with offices in Clearwater and throughout Tampa Bay, they're ready to put decades of experience to work for you if you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident or injured due to someone's negligence or recklessness. If you feel overwhelmed, uncertain, or unsure about your next steps after being involved in an accident or after a loved one sustained serious injuries due to someone else's negligence, call Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes at 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. That's 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. Non-attorney spokesman.
Shop the largest selection of Guy Harvey apparel, artwork, and gift items at GuyHarvey.com. From the world-renowned marine wildlife artist, the Guy Harvey online shop features the latest in performance apparel, classic Guy Harvey t-shirts, decor for every room in your home, exquisite ocean-inspired jewelry, and unique gift items, including custom merchandise not available anyplace else. Browse an extensive catalog of original Guy Harvey works of art and a full range of beautiful reproductions. As with all Guy Harvey merchandise, a percentage of sales benefits the ocean conservation, research, and education work of the Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation. The Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation will help ensure that future generations can enjoy and benefit from a well-balanced ocean ecosystem. Bring the undersea world into your everyday life at GuyHarvey.com.
Do you know what a truly special blog is? It's a website that's rated as one of the best in Florida, chock full of fantastic articles, humor, videos, and hundreds of cool pictures. So what blog is creating all that buzz? It's ColorfulClearwater.com, a blog on the internet created by Kelly Kelly. ColorfulClearwater.com is gaining in popularity every day due to its original writing and original videos and photography. It's updated several times per week with fresh content and includes everything about the color, culture, and vibrancy of Clearwater's citizens and businesses. Even though it covers just one city in Florida, ColorfulClearwater.com nonetheless is already outperforming blogs promoting tourist destinations and major sports teams. Hey, see for yourself. Give a visit to ColorfulClearwater.com and make it your source of enlightening, insights, and entertainment. That's ColorfulClearwater.com.
These days, amidst supply chain issues, staffing crises, and rising energy bills, it's not easy to be a successful entrepreneur in Clearwater. For many, financial fears have led to sleepless nights. On top of that, many more have employees and customers that they're trying to protect and reassure. A monumental task when they themselves are struggling with burnout. We're all experiencing a lot of intense emotions. So where can you find safe harbor? At Amplify Clearwater. Amplify Clearwater is your chamber of commerce, and the name says it all. To make Clearwater larger, greater, stronger. Here you'll find like-minded members who are seeking opportunities to learn from each other, to collaborate, network, support, and do business together. Every business owner's goal in 2022 is to grow their business. If you need help, your friends at Amplify Clearwater are here for you. Submit your application today at amplifyclearwater.com/join.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, thank you for sticking with us here on the Kelly Kelly Show. I'm Doug Kelly with my better three quarters or seven eighths, Kelly Kelly, and Big Ed Davis in the control room helping us out today as he always does. For the break, Kelly asked this trivia question, if you were listening to us, in Helsinki, Finland. Instead of issuing parking tickets, do the police tow away the car, put on a wheel boot, or deflate a tire? If you answered deflate a tire, you're right.
Wow.
And our first guest did that.
Yeah.
And you're about to introduce him.
I am.
Well, that'd be the cheaper way out.
What?
I go on Amazon, buy one of them inflatable tire things, park it wherever the hell I want.
Or have a spare tire.
Right now.
Yeah. Or have a spare tire, jack up your car, and put the spare on.
Well, no. You get that little handheld battery operated and inflate your tire.
I know. Yeah. I know that.
We have one. We've used it.
3 minutes. Yeah. I'm off.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, I'll park it everywhere.
The people in Finland are very nice. They're not necessary. No, I shouldn't say that. But anyway, that's their solution.
With our first guest, Jody Karam, performs in both opera and concerts in a variety of roles and styles throughout the United States, Europe, and the Middle East. In 2024, Ms. Karam will perform the roles of Ms. Havisham in Ms. Havisham's Wedding Night and Madame Le Duan.
Very good.
In Dialogues de Carmelites. Did I get that right?
Well, that was pretty darn close.
Okay, well, that's all that matters, right?
But she's got a tremendous, tremendous background in the performing arts, and we're going to learn all about that. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Great.
To be back here.
Yes, back here again.
Yeah,
exactly.
Great.
It's been a while. Tell us the name of your company.
So I run a nonprofit organization called Opera for Earth. And we do education programs and performing arts programs. Wow, we're kind of all over Mid-County, actually, right
really?
Now. We are, yeah.
So Largo, Clearwater?
Yeah, Largo, Clearwater, Dunedin, we have a concert series. And in Palm Harbor at the library, we have a free concert series. So,
nice.
That's fantastic. And you're about to do something pretty soon coming up at Moccasin Lake here in Clearwater. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so when I first came here, I rented an Airbnb and happened upon this amazing park called Moccasin Lake Nature Park. And I contacted the gentleman who is in charge of that park, Lloyd Simmons, and I said, "Do you have any music happening here?" And he goes, "We would love music here." So we actually did a concert series, a small one, a couple years ago. We didn't have any funding for it this year, so we found a grant, and the city of Clearwater actually gave us a grant to do programming for the next 2 years.
Oh,
so
nice.
Congratulations to us, and way to go, City Council.
Yeah. I'm picturing Moccasin Lake. Where in Moccasin Lake is there a
stage?
There's an outdoor stage there, and it's really cool because, you know, it's kind of surrounded by these wonderful trees, and it shades everything, and you're not like boiling hot. You're not in the sun. Where some parks have stages, but they're in the boiling hot sun.
Sure.
This is not that situation. You just come. They have chairs there. You can bring a chair. You can bring some wine or lunch or whatever.
Nice little breeze, and you got it.
Exactly. It's a perfect situation, and they'll have food trucks and things like that. So
awesome, and peacocks.
And the peacocks.
Yeah.
Yes. They're beautiful, aren't they?
Oh, they're amazing.
When I first got here, I asked my Airbnb host, I said, what's going on with the dying babies? Like, it sounded like a screaming baby or something to me. And I was like, that's so scary. And he said, no, it's a peacock.
Isn't that something?
Oh, okay. It's a peacock.
Yeah. Oh, when they spread those feathers,
it's breathtaking.
You just got to gasp. It is so beautiful.
Gorgeous.
It is. Oh. Well, let's back up just a minute. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get back to your all the concert series
all
and different things. Tell us about your background.
So I'm originally from Kentucky. Mm-hmm. I am the youngest of seven kids. I grew up with all these brothers.
Well, Kentucky, of course, seven
right.
kids.
Right, yes, of course.
You're the only girl?
I am.
Oh, wow.
And the youngest.
Wow.
So I know how to throw a punch.
You can handle yourself.
Yeah. So I was never into music until I kind of fell into it in high school. I was in a play, and the teacher's like, wow, you can sing. I'm like, oh, okay. I was petrified to sing. And then I ended up taking voice lessons and loved it. Went to music school and got my degree in performing arts. And here I am. You know, I've performed all over. I actually moved here almost 2 years ago from New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, we need more music arts in this county. And so I started reaching out to different places. And here we are. Yeah, we've been growing quite a bit.
So you had Opera for Earth in New York City, and also, as I'm looking here, in Austin, Texas.
Yes.
A great college town.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because, funny story, I started Opera for Earth during the pandemic with nothing to do, sitting in a Brooklyn apartment. And so our first concerts actually were not in New York City. They were in Austin at this museum house. And, of course, the college was, like, right across the street. So these college kids would walk past because it was an outdoor on a porch, you know, type concert. And they would walk past and listen, or they'd like start imitating the voice. You know, it was great. Well, I was in New Jersey getting on the New Jersey Transit, and a kid goes, hey, excuse me, I saw you in Austin singing.
Wow.
I was like,
oh my gosh. Wow.
That's unbelievable.
Wow.
He recognized me on the train
like
in New Jersey. Well, I don't know about that, but I guess in his eyes, maybe.
Yeah, that is really cool. That's cool. And you've been overseas?
I have. I've performed in Italy and Hungary and Germany and all over. Yeah.
Opera?
Opera, yes.
How do you put together an opera? I mean, as far as the personnel and the music, and how does that production happen?
Well, if someone's hiring me, I just audition, they hire me, and I go wherever they are.
I got you.
But for us, when we produce operas, it's quite a process because we have to either audition singers or interview them, get recordings and so forth, and then we cast it, and we have to find, for like Clearwater, we have to find, you know, sound people, we have to get costumes, we have to get the cast together, we do our rehearsals, and then we'll have a run on the stage with the sound because we have to be mic'd outdoors. Mm. It's a whole different thing. And that's how we do it. I mean, I know tons of singers from New York, from all over the place. And there's a lot of singers actually moving to Florida that want opportunities. So, and I'm meeting more and more people, even in the Tampa Bay area, where, you know, I want to hire local people and give them the opportunity, too. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you want to sing a little bit?
Well, I could.
Yeah, I want to hear.
Okay, maybe I should back away from the mic.
Okay.
What do you think? If you've got a powerful voice.
Okay. I'll sing one little line.
Is this a Beatles song?
No. No, not a Beatles song.
Okay.
What do you think?
That's amazing.
That is great. I will say it sounds a little like Ed in the shower. Wow, that's beautiful pitch.
Wow.
What a voice.
Thank you.
That is really good.
Yeah.
Is there an interest in opera?
There is, actually. And you know what? I take it on a whole different level because, number one, we do things especially like at the library and in the Methodist Church in Dunedin, we do things closer to people. So you actually get to see something so beautiful, a communication so beautiful up close, which you never get that opportunity in a theater. Mm-hmm. And we also give people an opportunity to ask questions of the singers.
Nice.
And the questions that come out of people, it's amazing. Things that I was like, oh, okay, I never really thought to ask something like that. So the
you know, and I think, too, when people go to different places where they're not expecting necessarily opera, but they see the Phantom of the Opera, my gosh, all of a sudden they realize that is really entertaining.
It's, you know what, the stories, like, people joke around and say, you know, oh, someone always dies in opera. Well, yeah, kind of. But there's a reason why, you know, they're either getting killed or committing suicide. Like, it's communication on steroids.
Yes.
Like, you don't feel it, like, talking it isn't enough. You feel it so much, you have to pour it out through the voice.
Mm-hmm.
So, and actually, I think no matter what you're singing, what language, music communicates to everybody on this entire earth. I've been in the subway in New York City, and there was a guy sitting next to me, and he was all drunked up. And am I even supposed to say that on the radio?
But no. Like I said, you didn't recognize me, right?
Well, I don't think it was you, because his wife had just left him, and it was his birthday.
Oh, that was me.
That was you. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, but go ahead.
But anyway, I was like, oh, it's your birthday? Well, let me sing you Happy Birthday. I'm an opera singer. And I sang him Happy Birthday. I wasn't even paying attention to anyone else.
That's cool.
On the subway. And all of a sudden, people start clapping. And I was like, oh, my God. So then I turned to everybody and I said, can we all sing him Happy Birthday? His wife just left him, and it's his birthday. Yeah. And they're like, oh, my God. So everybody busted out singing Happy Birthday.
That's like a movie set or a... That's phenomenal.
But music brings people together.
Yeah.
It does.
It does.
Did you ever have a chance? I'm sure not, because age-wise, you're a lot younger than people like Pavarotti. But
he's dead.
But, I mean, you've seen his performances.
Oh,
you know,
only on TV.
Of course,
yeah.
Me too. Yeah,
right.
But I mean, isn't that astounding? That kind of pitch and that voice and
I don't even have words.
The
to
greats
describe
of the, opera. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even have words to describe his talent.
It's thrilling.
Just amazing. It is.
It makes you tingle hearing those the people like that.
It is amazing.
So you mentioned before the show that you have some events coming up for kids.
I do, yes. So with this fabulous grant that we got, we wanted to offer some education programs, because there's a lot of kids in Pinellas County, and specifically in Clearwater, that we're targeting that don't have the opportunity to do musical theater camps and to actually get on a stage and perform in front of people, which anybody knows that the performing arts for a child will, you know, raise their confidence level, give them, you know, a lot of skills that they can use later on in life. And so we are offering three camps this year, one for spring break, March 11 through 15, which is a half-day camp, 9 to 1. And then we're offering two full-day camps in June. They'll each be 2 weeks. Each camp.
And so those are free to them.
They're free to the
kids. Isn't that amazing?
What a chance to
Oh yeah.
How would somebody contact you for that?
They would contact me via email at opera4earth@gmail.com. So opera4earth@gmail.com.
That's incredible. That's right. You describe yourself as a mezzo soprano.
Well, I'm what I call a reformed mezzo-soprano.
Okay.
So I'm a soprano. So because just like the body is always changing, the voice is always changing. So I sang professionally for about 15 years as a mezzo-soprano. Mezzo in Italian means half. And that just means that the warmth and special timbre is in the middle and low range. Well, my voice changed. When I did the opera that you were talking about, Tannhäuser, when I did Venus,
yes,
that my voice started changing during that time, and it started like a bloom on the top. And so Yeah.
So is it higher pitch or lower?
It's higher.
Higher.
And now the beauty and the interest in my voice is more on the top than in the middle and low.
That's nice. Interesting.
Yeah.
What are the other ranges?
So for women, there's different types of sopranos. So there's dramatic sopranos, which are the big, big, big mama voices. I'm a spinto, which is like a younger dramatic. They call it Jugendliche in German, younger dramatic. And then there's lyric sopranos, which are lighter than that. There's coloraturas, which is they move their voices very fast.
I'm learning stuff. I've been in music all my life, and I've never heard
really?
This. Yeah.
Well, and then you have mezzos, which have all those categories that I described in soprano, and then you have contraltos, which is a very, very low voice, and they're very rare.
Huh.
So I have a few friends that are contraltos that have amazing voices, but they are rare to come by. And then in the men's category, you have all those separate categories, too, within tenor, baritone, bass, baritone, bass.
You performed at Carnegie Hall?
I have, twice.
Wow.
Wow.
What's that experience like?
Oh, my gosh. It's such an amazing experience. Walking out on that stage with the crowd, I mean, it seats like, 3,000 people or something?
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, it's concert, so you have to, like, you have your score in front of you, and you're looking up at the audience, and you're like, how far up can I look? Because it goes way high up.
Does it?
And I'm like, I'm going to interrupt my vocal technique trying to look up that high. So it's an amazing experience. I mean, singing there, the sound that comes back to you is just can't be beat by any hall that I've ever been in.
Wow.
That's tremendous.
Very cool. Is there a performance coming to Clearwater?
Mentioned that. So in the fall, please come out to see us do. We're going to do three concerts. The first one in October will, and the dates are going to be on our website, operaforearthcorporation.org. And we'll have one in October, which will be, Miss Havisham's wedding night in partnership with Miss Manners on Music. Now, those are in English. They're contemporary works, and they're really funny by composer Dominic Argento. And then we're going to do, in November, I'm super excited, we're going to have Dialogues of the Carmelites.
What's that about?
Well, that's about, during the French Revolution, some nuns, Carmelite nuns, who would not, you know, stop praying and stop worshiping and being a part of the church. So they ended up getting their heads guillotined. Mm. So
how many heads did they have after that?
They had none.
I know. I knew it. I set you up for that one.
You did. Thanks for that.
Yes, yes.
And then in December, we're going to have a holiday community concert. So we're going to invite members of the community along with professional opera singers to sing.
Wow.
So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
It's a fun time for people to be able to, like, we'll do some raffles, we'll give away some candy, and give people a chance to have their voices be heard.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's tremendous. That's really tremendous. It's got to be enriching to you to be associating and working with other artists.
Absolutely.
Isn't that uplifting, an experience?
It's so wonderful because you get to work with your friends all the time. And if you're not friends, you become friends, and you get a partnership and a camaraderie like nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all have one thing in common. We have this special thing inside of our bodies that no one else has, and they're all unique to each person.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to communicate. So, you know, performing in an opera is not about being in front of the audience. It's about being a communicator and a messenger.
Mm-hmm.
There's a message that I'm sending out to whoever wants to hear the message.
That's wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of talent, evidently, in Tampa Bay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There is a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really love to give opportunity to people who want the opportunity.
Awesome. What's the website again?
Yes.
It's www.operaforearthcorporation.org.
And the four is F-O-R, not the number.
F-O-R, yes.
Very, very nice. it's been fantastic having you on the show.
Thank
again. It
you
sounds
so
like
much.
You're not only doing so much for your own self-enrichment, but for entertaining people and inspiring people and doing things for kids. You should really be proud of yourself.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. What do you think, Kel?
I think that's awesome. He caught me unawares there.
Well, we're going to ask you. We had another guest lined up who's not here, so we're going to ask you some.
He's here.
Oh, he is here.
He is here.
Oh, I apologize. I didn't see him out here.
Okay.
Okay, very good. Well, listen, we want to thank you again for, again, being with us.
Jody Karam.
And we'll be right back. But first, see if you can answer correctly this trivia question. When was the first radio invented? Was it 1896, 1919, or 1932? The answer right after this, and you better not Google it, okay? Here we go. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
In 1955, the law firm now known as Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes made a decision. Instead of taking whatever cases came through their doors, they decided to focus specifically on personal injury. 64 years later, the law firm is one of Clearwater's longest-running personal injury firms. Available 24 hours a day with offices in Clearwater and throughout Tampa Bay, they're ready to put decades of experience to work for you if you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident or injured due to someone's negligence or recklessness. If you feel overwhelmed, uncertain, or unsure about your next steps after being involved in an accident or after a loved one sustained serious injuries due to someone else's negligence, call Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes at 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. That's 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. Non-attorney spokesman.
Shop the largest selection of Guy Harvey apparel, artwork, and gift items at GuyHarvey.com. From the world-renowned marine wildlife artist, the Guy Harvey online shop features the latest in performance apparel, classic Guy Harvey t-shirts, decor for every room in your home, exquisite ocean-inspired jewelry, and unique gift items, including custom merchandise not available anyplace else. Browse an extensive catalog of original Guy Harvey works of art and a full range of beautiful reproductions. As with all Guy Harvey merchandise, a percentage of sales benefits the ocean conservation, research, and education work of the Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation. The Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation will help ensure that future generations can enjoy and benefit from a well-balanced ocean ecosystem. Bring the undersea world into your everyday life at GuyHarvey.com.
Do you know what a truly special blog is? It's a website that's rated as one of the best in Florida, chock full of fantastic articles, humor, videos, and hundreds of cool pictures. So what blog is creating all that buzz? It's ColorfulClearwater.com, a blog on the internet created by Kelly Kelly. ColorfulClearwater.com is gaining in popularity every day due to its original writing and original videos and photography. It's updated several times per week with fresh content and includes everything about the color, culture, and vibrancy of Clearwater's citizens and businesses. Even though it covers just one city in Florida, ColorfulClearwater.com nonetheless is already outperforming blogs promoting tourist destinations and major sports teams. Hey, see for yourself. Give a visit to ColorfulClearwater.com and make it your source of enlightening, insights, and entertainment. That's ColorfulClearwater.com.
You run your business with a laser-like focus on success. Challenges come at you from every angle, but you stay the course. Your calendar is full, and your time is limited. So how do you deal with governmental issues that can impact your business? Turn to Amplify Clearwater, your chamber of commerce for Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Amplify Clearwater monitors legislation on the city, county, and state levels to identify issues that will impact businesses in the region. Then they become your voice to our elected representatives. They listen, watch, then take action to either support positive legislation or table bills that would negatively affect our business community. But they need your support to continue this vital work. Why not join the chamber today? Visit AmplifyClearwater.com for all the details and to submit a membership application. Amplify Clearwater. one community, one chamber, one vision.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to The Kelly Kelly Show. I'm Kelly Kelly, and I'm here with Doug Kelly, my better half.
Hey.
My attractive better half.
Some would say.
And before the break, Doug asked, when was the first radio invented? Was it 1896, 1919, or 1932? And surprisingly, it was 1896 by Guglielmo Marconi.
He's the same guy who invented the telegraph earlier.
Interesting.
So, yeah, he invented the radio back then.
Well, I'm really excited to have Javonte Scott here. Javonte is running for Clearwater City Council Seat 3. Did I get that correct?
Yeah, you got it.
Javonte was born and raised in Clearwater and is a candidate. Oh, okay. Yes. I just said that. He graduated from Clearwater High School and received a Bachelor of Science in Public Policy and Administration from St. Pete College.
And it's my turn.
Oh, okay.
He is an employee of the City of Clearwater as a Neighborhood Services Coordinator and, as she said, a candidate for Seat 3 on the Clearwater City Council, which is a council composed of five people, a mayor and four council members, and it has a city manager, mayor type of format. And it's great to have you with us today on the Kelly Kelly Show.
Thank you both. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All righty.
You know, I've always wanted to ask you, what does a neighborhood service coordinator do?
Well, neighborhood services was a division that the former city manager John Jennings put together. It was originally the city had neighborhood services coordinators or neighborhood liaisons, they called them, before the crash in 08, 09. Mm. And then there was some layoffs, and that was one of those divisions. 2022-ish, Mr. Jennings brought the position back to be better engaged in the community. It is really the bridge from the community to the city government, voice for residents inside of the city hall. And so from attending association meetings to being sure that they carry concerns and questions from residents back to the city staff is what the role of a neighborhood services coordinator is.
Okay.
Perfect explanation.
And that was John Jennings, now the current city manager, Jennifer Poirier.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So you're working under that capacity. And I take it for granted if you should win the election, you will leave your job with the city and then assume your job on the council.
That is correct.
Okay.
Upon winning the election, I will resign from my role as a neighborhood services coordinator before taking the oath of office. Mm-hmm. To be council member in C3.
Yep. Gotcha. Now you have you're running against two other people.
That's correct.
Mike Menino and Jared Leon.
That's correct.
And so, for those who are unfamiliar with politics in Clearwater, you had to file back in, I believe, September.
Yep.
That's right. September.
We qualified in November.
And then you qualify because you had to get 250 petitions
That's
signed.
Correct.
And then the campaign began once you qualified. How's the campaigning like?
It's good. It's a lot of work. It's tedious. It's time consuming. It's a sacrifice. You've got to decide some things you would rather be doing probably on the weekend or a weeknight that you can't do.
Sure.
There's going to be some dinners you're going to want to go to that you won't be able to attend. Birthday parties you will have to miss in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
Family events and occasions that you will have to skip out on or pop in and pop out of to do the work of campaigning.
Sure.
So it's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah. Do you have a team?
A team, yeah. We've got a great team of people who have been supporting from the beginning. They are core to the support system that I have. Mm-hmm. They've kept me grounded and rooted. They have kept me level-headed and helped carry some of the weight behind campaigning because of my responsibility as a city employee, a full-time worker. I don't get the luxury of campaigning all day as many of the other candidates do.
That's true. I didn't think
so
about that.
with the team of people
that
I have had.
That's a little bit of a handicap, for sure.
It is. Yeah. But it's been great. The team has been very cooperative, considerate of that responsibility that I have, and they've made sure to help me as much as possible.
That's
so it's been a great journey, and really because of the people I've gotten to meet, but also the people I've gotten to work with as well.
Now, you've done some door knocking.
Correct.
Now that, you know, when I was in college, between semesters.
Just a minute.
I'm a young guy still, 39. But at any rate, back then, a lot of times, you know, encyclopedias were being sold. They don't now because you've got it online.
Yeah, you got Google.
But we would actually do door-to-door
sales,
and it was rough. Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, people immediately tell you to slam the door in your face. They let the dog out to chase you out the yard. Not quite that bad, you know. But how have you found it? Are you having a good reception? Are people afraid to open the doors these days because of crime and things? What's been your experience?
Well, so going in, you hear stories like yours, Doug,
right,
of people who've had those bad experiences, and so you expect that it might be the same.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's been great. The residents of Clearwater have been very receptive. They've been warm and welcoming.
Very good.
Some have welcomed us into their home. Some have stood outside and had lengthy conversations with us in the cold, in the heat, mm-hmm, in some cases. And so from the beach to Countryside, Morningside area, it's been a warm reception among residents. And many of them, what I've found is many of them have their issue. And so unlike a salesperson, I'm not necessarily going to the door to sell anything.
Except yourself.
Except myself, to an extent.
Right.
But really the goal has been to hear what are the current concerns of residents of Clearwater. What would they want their next council to work on? What is important to them? And so when I get to the door, I let them share with me those concerns.
That's a good idea.
Don't go with a script or any preconceived notion about the neighborhood or anything like that. We've knocked every door. We've tried to talk to every resident, as many of them as possible, to hear their concerns and to share where I stand on those issues and what I think the city of Clearwater could do. What are some next steps for progress in those areas of their concern?
That reminds me, that's your slogan, Next.
It is, Next, yeah.
It's very simple.
Yeah.
What does that mean exactly?
Next is a more, it's an idea. It has been my goal and to share a picture with the residents of Clearwater of where I see our city in the future, where our city can go post March 19th, starting March 20th, where are we headed if Javonte Scott is the council member in seat three. And Next is a more inclusive, opportunistic, futuristic Clearwater, one where all of its residents feel welcomed and wanted, with a government that does everything it can to ensure that it removes all barriers that hinder it from creating a greater quality of life for its residents, and one whose decisions are not solely made based on the city we are today, but with an understanding of the city that we intend to be in the future. And my belief is that Next, in order to get to that place, if we're going to be the city that upholds our motto of being bright and beautiful from bay to beach, then it's going to require us preparing ourselves for Next. And that's going to take someone new. It's going to take something new, someone with new energy and new connections, someone who can bridge our city council to its adults and its young adults. And I believe I'm the best qualified person to do that in seat three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd certainly be different in appearance and age.
Yep.
So it would bring new energy.
It would be new.
Mm-hmm. I think, well, the average age, I think, on the council now is deceased, isn't it? It's a lot of gray hair.
That was good.
A lot of gray hair. So, you know, we need certainly voices of different perspectives from ages, especially.
Yep. For sure.
I need younger people on there, people of all ages, older people too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But one of the interesting things too that's coming up, and for those who, again, who are not in Clearwater, they will still, all over the state, you will have a presidential primary
vote
on March 19th, so everybody can vote in the presidential primary, but each municipality has its own local races.
That's right.
And so on the ballot this time, there will be three councilmen, council places open, mayor, correct, seat two, and seat three. Seat three. And then there's also a referendum on the ballot.
That's correct.
And this referendum is controversial. It hasn't really been talked about a heck of a lot.
No.
Can I read it?
Certainly. Go right ahead.
Shall the City of Clearwater Charter be amended to require a runoff election beginning in the year 2026 for each council seat in which no candidate receives more than 50% of the vote in the regular city election? As described in the city ordinance, this amendment will also change Clearwater's regular election from March of even-numbered years to August of even-numbered years, and the runoff elections, when necessary, will be held in November of even-numbered years.
Gotcha.
Wow, that's a long referendum.
Well, it's a 75.
I thought there was a limit of 75 words.
That is 75 words.
Oh, okay.
What's your position on that?
On the referendum?
Yes.
Well, one of the things for me has been making sure, one, that residents know the referendum is even on the ballot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. A lot of residents, when we get to doors, don't necessarily know the makeup of our council.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know we've got a 5-member council. They don't know that Mayor Unks does not have power like Mayor Welch in St. Peter or Mayor Castor in Tampa,
mm-hmm.
Because the day-to-day operations, as you said, Doug, are run by a city manager, Poirier.
Right.
And so the city council really serves as the board of a nonprofit organization, mm-hmm. in which the city manager serves as the executive director, with the mayor serving as chairman or president of that board. And so in terms of the referendum, it's really interesting. It's two questions in one. As you heard, we have the possibility, my short answer to the question, my stance is no. I will be voting no on the referendum, but here's why. The concerns about money and a candidate having to really raise twice the number because you need to probably prepare for a runoff is part of that issue. But I'd even, in some cases, and this is something that has been talked about already, to the point that you made, Kelly, the city council has largely not been representative of the diverse city that Clearwater is, from age to thought to color. And when you consider the current format, seems to be a bit more, seems to offer a greater opportunity for residents like myself who don't necessarily come from money. It's been said that typically our city council positions are filled by those who are either retired, independently wealthy, business owners, or homemakers. And so for anybody who has not grown up in money, come from money, or does not own their own business, somebody who has a family who's going to have to work on a day-to-day basis to try to be able to take care of their family in our world today, they will need to be able, the current format gives opportunity. But if we switch that format, it will lessen the opportunity of the diverse and quality of candidates that we receive. But also, our city council in 2022, there were, for the municipal election, about 77,000 residents who could vote in that election. In that election, only about 22,000 showed up. And so when you consider that's about 50,000 residents who could have voted but did not, mm-hmm. to say that we're going to change the date of the election and we're going to change the format in which we elect the winner of the election and that will give someone 50% is not necessarily true. Because until we have as close to 100% of our electorate voting, mm-hmm. we will never represent 50% of the voters in Clearwater. So I'm committed as the next councilman in seat three to try my best to engage voters and educate them as I've done this entire campaign.
Okay, well, what do you say to those who say that with the current system, a minority hasn't been elected for 40 years?
Mm-hmm.
So how's that going to make any difference? As far as number of people who come to the polls, one of the problems is that it's in March. It's not a general election in most places, like it is in August, mm-hmm. if there's a primary, and then November, mm-hmm. is the usual typical election.
Yep.
So if anything, people who are supporting the referendum, mm-hmm. tend to say it will increase the number,
yeah.
of turnout,
yeah.
and it's a part-time job.
Right.
It's not a full-time job, but the salaries have been up quite a bit.
Yeah.
What are they, the mid-30s or 40s now?
They're about 45 now. They were just at 27.
They were half that before. Yeah. So that might encourage more people to try to get elected, I would hope. But Ed, you wanted to say something.
I was just wondering, bringing up the mayor doesn't have the power of the other mayors in, you know, St. Pete and Tampa. Why is that? Has anybody asked? Or
I can tell you.
In my mind, it's not working.
The reason is the mayor cannot make a motion or second a motion. Now, their power comes in controlling the agenda.
Yeah. But I'm saying, why isn't it like the other mayors in other cities?
Residents of Clearwater decided not to.
Why?
There was
that's
a vote for
it.
They're a strong mayor in those cities. Yeah, we don't have a strong mayor.
Right.
And they had a referendum to change it to a strong mayor. What, 4 years
ago? I've seen Brian in the gym.
And they voted against it. They voted against it, Clearwater voters. So that's the reason.
Real quick, Javonte, you were on the last charter review committee?
No.
You were not?
I wasn't.
Mm-hmm. You weren't? Okay.
Because I know they're trying to get districting.
Yeah.
Which might help in that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So people aren't running citywide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if they're in a certain section, it'll be easier for them to campaign, to raise money. I think there's some sense in that.
Mm-hmm.
Even to your point, to both of the points you just made, mm-hmm. In terms of representation, it's harder. The point that you made is the exact reason why it won't be beneficial for diverse candidates who don't necessarily have a connection to those with a lot of money. Because if we have not been able to elect, and this is just an African-American candidate, in 40 years, 1981 was the last time African American was elected to our city council. Mm-hmm. At the time, they were considered commissioners, and so that was with the current format. Well, if we can't get them with the March election, if we can't get them with not having to run twice, if we can't engage voters now, we definitely won't be able to engage voters to come out twice. If they won't come out once, they're most likely not going to come out twice.
Well, we'll give you the last word on that, and give us your contact information. How do people get a hold of you?
So you can go to www.preparedfornext.org to find out more about our campaign. You can follow that same phrase on Facebook, Prepared for Next, F-O-R, the word for, on Facebook to see more about the campaign. And then our email is J as in Joseph, M as in Mary, the last name, my last name, Scott.
With two T's. Right.
At preparedfornext.org.
Okay, it's been a pleasure having you.
Yeah, thank you.
And voting by mail has begun. Deadline to request a mail ballot is March 7th coming up, and there'll also be pre-voting days before the March 19th election. So, Kel, it is time now for us to wrap things up. Let's thank our guest first.
Thanks to Javonte Scott. He is running for city council, seat 3 in Clearwater.
And Jody Karam.
And Jody Karam.
Very, very good. Also, it is time now for our verse of the week.
I am not ashamed of the Lord. He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust.
And please always remember this. Don't go looking for happiness. Take it with you. Thanks for being with us today. On behalf of Kelly, Ed Davis, and myself, give us a listen every Monday at this same time and station for another rip-snorting edition of the Kelly Show.
Thanks for listening to the award-winning Kelly Show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. I'm Monica Ricks. The Supreme Court handed Donald Trump a win today, ruling he can remain on the ballot in Colorado ahead of Super Tuesday. CBS's David Becker.
This just says that he can compete in the political arena to win the presidency again, because states cannot keep him off the ballot, because states under a blanket rule cannot act, absent congressional action, to remove federal candidates from the ballot.
Our Robert Costa with reaction.
Talking to sources close to the former president, they're feeling good about this already, but they also know the specter of January 6th and scrutiny of the former president's actions remains very much a part of this campaign. Yes, he will be on the Colorado ballot, but looming on the horizon is a possible January 6th trial.